The Metamorphosis by Franz Kafka, narrated by Joanna Lewis. Franz Kafka, The Metamorphosis, Chapter 1. "So," said Gregor, who was perfectly aware that he was the only one who managed to retain his composure, "I will get dressed, take the samples, and leave. And you want me to leave, don't you? Well, Mr. Executive, you see that I am not a stubborn man and I take pleasure in my work. Traveling is exhausting, but I would not be able to survive without it. Where are you going, Mr. Executive? To the Bureau? Is that correct? Are you going to report everything? There can be a time in a man's life when he finds himself unable to work, yet that it is a perfect occasion to recall a man's prior achievements, hoping that it would become an incentive for him to work even harder in the future, once this nuance dissolves. As you know, I am greatly obliged to the director. On the other hand, I have to take care of my parents and my sister. Do not make the situation worse for me. I am aware that people do not think fondly of the salesmen. They assume they, the salesmen, earn absurd amounts of money and live indulging in all kinds of pleasure. This is a prejudice no one ever questions. But you, Mr. Executive, you know what it is actually like better than the rest of the staff. Better, I dare say, than even our director, who, as an entrepreneur, is prone to make a wrong assumption about an employee. You also know that, spending most of the year away from the firm, a salesman can fall prey to gossip and random and ungrounded accusations against which he cannot protect himself, since he only becomes aware of them once, exhausted, he returns from a trip and faces their repercussions. Mr. Executive, do not leave without letting me know, if only through a single word, that at least partly you acknowledge that I am right." Yet the moment Gregor started speaking, the executive turned aside and, frowning, glanced at him over his shoulder and kept twitching. During Gregor's speech, he did not stand still for a mere second, and, instead, without taking his eyes off, attempted to retreat from the room to the door. He slowly, however, as if some mystical power was keeping him inside. He already reached the hallway and, upon noticing how abruptly he was moving one last step away from the living room, one could assume he got his foot burned. Once he was in the atrium, he reached out his hand to the stairs, as if some heavenly bliss was awaiting him there. Gregor realized that he by no means should let the executive leave the house in this mood, unless he wanted to put his position at the firm on the line. The parents were not fully aware of this. Over the years, they grew accustomed to the fact that Gregor worked in the firm and assumed that he would work there forever. And these new troubles they had to endure only deprived them further of the true perception. Yet Gregor was perceptive. The executive has to be delayed, calmed down, convinced, and eventually prompted to the side of Gregor, since both Gregor's and his family's future depended on this. Oh, if only his sister had not left. She is clever. She began to cry back when Gregor was calmly lying on his back. And, of course, the executive, a ladies' man, would have obeyed her. She would have closed the door and made all of his fears go away with a persuasive speech. Yet, since it was the sister who had left, Gregor had to do everything himself, without considering the fact that he did not get a tight grasp on his ability to move or fact that his speech, perhaps, had stayed incoherent. He went through the doors. He was about to reach the executive, who, upon coming out, clung to the stair rails in a funny manner, when, after an unsuccessful attempt to find anything he could lean on, he fell down on his legs. As soon as it happened, his body felt comfortable for the first time this morning. His legs stood on a solid ground and, as he cheerfully noticed, obeyed him without a hitch. While they were trying to evenly carry him to the exact spot he was moving towards, Gregor began to think of his tortures were at last about to be over. Yet as he was rocking back and forth, lying not from his mother, She suddenly jumped to her feet and spread her hands and fingers, screaming, "Help! For God's sakes, help!" She tilted her head as if trying to take a closer look at Gregor. However, instead she ran backwards, forgetting about the coffee table behind her. As she reached the table, she absentmindedly sat down on it, apparently unaware that, next to her, a stream of coffee was pouring from a knocked-over coffee pot straight on the rug. "Mother, mother," quickly uttered Gregor and raised his eyes on her. For a moment, he completely lost the executive out of his mind. However, as he noticed the coffee, he could not help himself but sporadically gasp for air. Upon seeing this, the mother screamed, jumped off the table, and fell down on the father, who rushed to help her. Yet Gregor had no time to take care of his parents. The executive already reached the stairs. Resting his chin on the stair rail, he cast the last farewell look at what was now behind him. Gregor was about to run to catch up with him, yet, apparently, the executive had predicted that intention, since, after jumping over a few stairs, he vanished. The only thing he exclaimed was, "Phew!" And this sound scattered across the hallway. Unfortunately, the executive's retreat must have finally upset the father, who had been holding up relatively well until that moment, since, instead of chasing the executive himself, or at least letting Gregor do it without any obstructions, he grabbed the cane that the executive left on the chair, along with his coat and hat, with his right hand, and with his left hand, he took the large newspaper, and, stomping and waving, began to force Gregor to crawl back towards his room. All of Gregor's appeals proved futile. Besides, his father did not even understand those appeals. Regardless of how humbly Gregor nodded, the father only kept stomping more energetically. Despite the cold weather outside, Gregor's mother opened the window and, leaning out of it, hid her face in her hands. A strong wind blew through the space between the windows and the staircase. The curtain flew up, the newspapers rustled on the table, and a couple of pages scattered across the floor. The father was advancing relentlessly, releasing, like a wild man, hissing sounds of his own. Gregor, who did not yet master walking backwards, was moving very slowly. If only Gregor had turned, he would have immediately got to his room. Yet he was afraid of provoking his father by his slow motions, since his father's cane could, at any moment, bring a fatal blow on his back or head. Eventually, however, there was nothing else for Gregor to do, since, to his horror, he noticed that while walking backwards, he was unable to even move in one direction. So, not taking his fearful eyes off his father even for a second, he began, as fast as he could, which was nevertheless slow, to turn around. Apparently, the father approved of his good intentions. In addition to not prevent him from turning around, he even assisted Gregor to move forward by pushing him with the end of the cane. If only he stopped his obnoxious hissing. It was exasperating for Gregor. He was about to finish his turn when, distracted by the hissing, he made a mistake and moved in the opposite direction. Yet, as he finally put his head through the door, he became aware of the fact that his body was too wide to fit into it. The father, in his current state, would of course never realize that he had to open another part of the door to let Gregor inside. He had one recurring thought, to force Gregor into his room as soon as possible. By no means would he tolerate the amount of time it would take Gregor to prepare to stand straight and, possibly, try to get past the door in that manner. As if there were no obstructions, Gregor's father was now pushing Gregor with a peculiar noise. It appears as if the sounds behind Gregor were produced not only by his father. This was becoming serious. So Gregor, come what may, pushed himself through the door. One side of his body was raised as he was lying diagonally in the passageway. A part of his body was badly injured, and there were appalling blood marks on the white door. Soon, he was struck and unable to move himself. On one side, his legs were helplessly hanging and trembling, while on the other side, they were painfully pressed to the door. And then, forcefully, His father gave him a truly salvatory kick by the virtue of which Gregor, now smeared in blood, flew into his room. The door was closed with the cane with a following long-awaited silence.